Thank you, Brother Pat. Appreciate you leading our songs of worship this morning. All right. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. We're going to, Lord willing, finish a sermon that we started last Sunday morning. And we're talking on the subject, prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. Too often, you know, sometimes people have the wrong understanding of prayer. And, you know, I've had, you know, and I know people in the past have said, well, why, you know, if God already knows what he's going to do, why do we pray? Well, number one, we pray because God tells us to. Amen. You know, if there's one thing about the Lord, he honestly could say, as sometimes we do as parents, you know, when kids ask, why do I have to do that? The Lord could say, because I told you, you need to do that. And we often find that in God's Word, the Lord puts a great emphasis, and He puts a tremendous emphasis on obedience. You know, if there's one thing that God's people should be, is obedient to God's Word, obedient to the principles that we have and we know and we learn. As one said, I think it was Dr. Jerry Vines used to say, when it comes to the Bible, he said, there are parts of the Bible that I do not understand. He said, those aren't the parts that I have trouble with. He said, the parts I have trouble with are the parts that I do understand and trying to stay faithful to them, trying to obey them. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, you know, with privilege, I teach my kids this, with privilege comes responsibility. And you and I that know Christ as our Savior, we're very privileged. We're very, very privileged kids. Amen? We're very privileged kingdom kids, if you will. And because of that, we really have to understand the importance of prayer. You know, our theme this year is Each One, Reach One. And one of the ways, I truly believe this, one of the ways that we'll be able to reach folks for Christ and perhaps just reach one soul this year for Jesus is by prayer, asking God to lead, that He'll guide, that He'll direct our steps, that He'll lead us and, you know, have us, you know, have divine appointments, if you will, you know, come across our path and share the gospel and share you know, how wonderful Jesus is and how he's changed our life. So here in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul, excuse me, I'm in 2 Timothy. I got to put these glasses back on. Yeah, there you go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I've been out of the pulpit so much, last week I didn't even have you stand. So I'm going to have you stand today. Somebody said that after service. Said, preacher, you didn't have a stand to read the Word. I'm like, oh, okay, I forgot that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Are you there? Say, I'm there if you're there. I'm here. All right, look at chapter 1. Chapter. Whoo, man, long day. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 1. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. A little bit of a ring, Brad, through the monitor. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're grateful, Father, for your word, and we ask, dear God, that you'll bless the reading of it. We pray, dear Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will lead us and he'll teach us. And Father, we love you, and we're grateful, God, for who you are. We're grateful, God, that we can come to you in prayer. And Lord Jesus, what a blessing that we have to be able to do that. And God, it indeed does change us, as we'll see today. It absolutely changes us. So Father, help us to be obedient in the area of prayer, for it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Prayer changes us. Last Sunday morning, we gave you the first thought of, in the context of prayer, we see, number one, the demand of prayer. And we also said to you, in the context of this verse, Paul says to this to his young protege, he uses a phrase, first of all. That phrase in that verse, in verse 1, carries with it, you know, first in order, rank, if you will, importance, if you will. We would simply call it a priority of our life. The Apostle Paul wants Timothy to make prayer something that he does, to make prayer, letter A, first of all, prayer
should be a habit of our life. It should be a habit. Do you pray? How often do you pray? He said, preacher, I pray over my food, and I'm grateful to God for that. We should be thankful. Can I get a witness? We should be thankful when God, you know, gives us the ability to eat and, you know, and the nourishment that we get from food. We should be thankful for that. So I would encourage you today in the demand of prayer that, you know, we should, as we'll see in just a little while, make it a habit of our life. But we talked about, you know, this idea of first in importance. And we see it illustrated perfectly. You know, the scriptures really show us. The scriptures teach us. You remember the model prayer that Jesus prayed? You know, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, so when we see that, Jesus, of course, you know, it's often referred to, and I know some, you know, even denomination call that the Lord's Prayer. It actually isn't correct. It's the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. If you want to really see the Lord's Prayer, you read John 17, which is a powerful prayer that Jesus prays. I would encourage you to do that. So we see in this text the demand for prayer. The Apostle Paul wants his protege to make prayer really, it's a demand. It has to be important in our life. It has to be priority in our life. We should make prayer a habit of our life. It should be a habit. It should be something that we do, that we automatically do. That just like a when the doctor hits your knee and the reflexes happen, you know, it kicks your knee out. That's, if you will, kind of the way prayer should be in our life. You know, when Jeff sent out that prayer request, I'll be honest, ladies and gentlemen, it with JJ, it absolutely just stabbed me in the heart as a dad. I have a 17-year-old kid. And man, it just hit me in the heart, you know, as a dad. And I've been praying. I've been telling my wife. I mean, I've just really, truly been overwhelmed to pray for this family. I can't imagine what they're going through. But I said to the Lord, I said, God, I can't imagine what they're going through. I said, but Heavenly Father, you know what they're going through. You know what they're going through, Father, and you're able to empathize with them. You're able to be with them. God, you know, the God that you and I serve, listen, friend, the God that you and I serve is a God that cares for his people. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. You say, well, preacher, if he loves us, then why do bad things happen to us? Listen, friend, there's an aspect of life that you and I know nothing about. In the context that Jesus sees the beginning, but Jesus also sees the ending. Amen? And in the context of that, that should give us hope. That should give us security. That should give us peace in our life to know that God knows what he's doing all the time. He knows what he's doing. You say, yeah, but pastor, as a human being, you know, it's sometimes hard to swallow. You're right. Can I get a witness in this room? You're right. Let's not be sanctimonious. Let's not be, you know, trying to portray that we're some super spiritual giant. We are just simply dust. We are frail creatures that must be dependent on God and must be dependent that the Lord Jesus knows exactly what I need. I see, I gave the title of this, that prayer changes us, because ladies and gentlemen, it does, it will. Prayer will change your life. It will change the direction of your life. It will change the practice of your life. Prayer will keep you. One of the thoughts that I had as I've been meditating on this for a while now, prayer will really teach you to depend on God. Depend on God. You said, pastor, I'll be honest, I don't pray much. Well, let me give you a little phrase. And this absolutely, I find in my life to be a true statement. Little prayer, little power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Much prayer, much power. You see, God often, he will show forth his power in a way that often will astound us. Let me ask you this, and you don't necessarily have to raise your hand or anything, but maybe just in the quietness of your heart, if you want to respond, you can. Has God ever answered a prayer of yours? Has he ever answered? You better believe he has. As Pat sings a song, and I'm going to have him sing it for too long. I haven't sung. I haven't been. I don't come to church much anymore. I've been out for 2 months, man. I haven't been Sunday nights, Wednesday nights with this knee, but I'm doing a lot better. And Lord willing, I'll be here tonight. I have absolute intention of being able to be here tonight. So we're going to ice this. We're going to ice this puppy when we get home. And Les is going to fan me with banana leaves. I mean, it's going to be amazing. So you pray for Les as she serves me this afternoon. She said, "Oh, yeah, boy, I'll serve you." I asked her one time, I said, "Babe, you know the Bible teaches how a woman's to take care of her husband." I said, "You know, and I think it mentions, if you study the original Hebrew, I said, I think it, you know, means a woman is to provide her husband with a hot meal." Well, Leslie heard me say that. And she said, "Honey," she says, "you want a hot meal?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, light your cornflakes on fire." She prayed for Les. She struggles with obedience. It's awful. I'm just joking. She takes very, very good care for me. And as you can see, I haven't missed too many meals. Don't amen that. Prayer needs to become a habit. It needs to become a habit of our life. You know, I said to these young people last week, and I'll reiterate this because it's absolutely of vital importance. You know, girls and boys, they reach an age where, have you ever watched this as parents? Have you ever seen as parents? It's something, man. You know, there's a time when little boys and girls, you know, look at the other as having cooties and you want nothing to do. I don't even know what a cootie is, but it was a bad thing when I was a kid. Yeah. Right? Have cooties. And I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, you know, but then there comes, after the cootie stage, then you get a little bit older. And then you start noticing each other. Right? And then you start writing little notes like, "Do you like me, yes or no?" And if a girl, now where I'm from, if you really liked a girl, you'd go up and punch her in the arm. You say, "Man, you rednecks are tough." Well, the women are tougher, I'm telling you. Raging Ivy, I've talked about her many times. There was only one girl in our school that everybody was scared of, Raging Ivy. She used to beat up us boys. So I made sure I got on her friend list, amen? But something happens, and, you know, we transition into our, into now liking, the opposite sex. I remember one time my pastor, true story, in our culture and the world in which we live, my pastor one time, one of our church members, went to Brother Morton, and they were distraught, man. They were all upset, and they said, "Brother Morton." And he said, "What? What's the matter?" She said, "My son kissed a girl." And Brother Morton went, "Praise the Lord." That's what he did. Praise the Lord. He goes, "In this world and times which we live, that's not a bad thing." He said, "I can't believe you justify that. Come on, man." He said, "I was attracted to my wife's insides." Really? I've never seen Leslie's kidneys, but I love my wife. Amen. Her kidneys have had absolutely nothing to do with us getting married, man. When I saw Leslie for the first time, I thought, "You lucky woman." That's what I thought, I'm telling you. She begged me to marry her. It was, no, you know better than that. When I saw her, I'm like, "Lord, please strike her with blindness so she'll really appreciate me and love me." But no, just kidding. But I said to the young people last week, I said, "Listen, when you start dating," I said, "you start getting serious about perhaps marriage. Girls, please listen to your preacher. You want to date somebody. You want to date a boy. Because you do know, parents, right, that every date is a potential mate. You know that, right? Leslie and I started dating. You say, "I don't believe in dating. We believe in courting." We'll call it what you will. Date somebody, marry somebody, young girls, who absolutely knows how to get a hold of God when he needs to. Boys, same thing. My wife is a prayer warrior. She does. She prays. She prays for our kids. You know, my kids hate this. They hate when I use them in illustration, but I'm not really using them as much as an illustration today. I'm trying to get away from that as much as I'm wanting to use Leslie. You know what, my wife, she prays specifically. I promise you this. She when it comes to our kids, listen to how she prays. She prays that if they do something wrong, Bonnie, that they'll be caught. Yeah. She does. I think she prays that about me too. She prays that they'll be caught.
Say, preacher, why would your wife pray something like that? I'll tell you why. Because she loves her kids. And she wants to protect them. And she wants God to do amazing things in their life. So you make sure you make, not just these kids, not just these teenagers, these young people. I'm going to say this to you, any single people in our room, in this room today. Say, preacher, I'll be honest. I just want to be married. And I know your heart. I know your heart. And many of you that are single in this room, you want nothing more than to be married. But please, wait on God. You say, preacher, that sounds spiritual for somebody that's married to tell me that. No. I'm not trying to sound super spiritual, but I'm just trying to get you to understand. You would do well, friend, to wait on the one God has for you than to rush ahead of God's plan and marry somebody where you'll have Jezebel as your mother-in-law or Satan as your father-in-law. Right? None of the guys are amening it. Don't amen. No, wait on the Lord. Let God work in your life. And ladies, my wife, she's got a pretty good track record. She's a matchmaker, man. Ask Terry and Adrian. I'm telling you, there's a few others. My wife, you got to be careful when Buttercup looks at me. She'll say, you know, babe, I was noticing. She'll say, she'll do that. She goes, I was noticing, for example, Terry Sotelo. She goes, I was noticing years ago with Adrian. She goes, I was noticing, you know, there's a soldier that comes and sees his kids, you know, at school. And she goes, so my wife, prayer request time, my wife says, I was asking around school who he was. And she goes, you know, babe, she said, I was thinking about introducing him to Terry Sotelo. And the rest is history. Right? But, you know, and Terry says, yeah, and I've never forgiven her for it. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody says, marriage is made in heaven. Well, so is thunder and lightning. I'm just telling you, just keep that in mind. So marry somebody that knows how to get a hold of God, because I promise you this, and I say that a lot. You're going to have times in your marriage where you're going to need to get a hold of the Lord. If you become a parent, you're going to have times in your parenting roles or you're going to need to get a hold of God. And I tell you, friend, I'm grateful with every fiber of my being. I'm grateful that because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through his shed blood, I have access into the throne of God because of that. You see, if you are a first century Jewish person, hearing the fact that you have access into the throne of God, that was a foreign thought. They struggled with that because they were taught for 4,000 years, they were not allowed. They were not allowed. Only the high priest once a year, not the average person, could go into the Holy of Holies, which was representative of the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, Hebrews comes along. Jesus Christ dies, buries, rises again, stays on the earth for 40 days, goes back to the Heavenly Father where he's been since then. And the writer writes in Hebrews, we have a high priest. You know, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In Hebrews, the Bible says that same writer in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 4, I could be wrong on that, but it's in Hebrews. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You ever have times in your life where you are in need? Your children ever get sick? Your children ever run a fever and you can't get it down? Your children ever, you know, get the flu or what have you? Marry someone that knows how to get a hold of God. It should become a habit in our life. Because secondly, letter B, prayer, it's a help in our lives. It helps us. It absolutely helps us. You say, preacher, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God never answered my prayer. Well, let me just let you in a little secret. This may help you. And to be honest, this principle may be revolution. It may revolutionize your life. I'm not just saying that. See, God answers prayer in several different ways. I taught you this. Let me remind you of it. You watch me and let me remind you of this. Sometimes
God's answer to prayer is yes. Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing. Sometimes God's answer to prayer is no. Ooh. I don't really like that, preacher, because listen, friend. God knows what's best in our lives. He knows what's best. My little grandmother, bless her heart, I love her with all my heart. She's with the Lord and has been since, oh, probably about 17 years now. She used to say to me, pray that the Lord lets me win the lottery. And I'd look at her and I'd say, Big Rose, I ain't praying that. Why wouldn't you pray that? Because it may not be God's will for her to have all that money. But I would have got a lot better inheritance, actually, now that I think about it. No, I'm just kidding. You said, preacher, no, listen. You may want to write this down. It may seem simple. It may seem like a little phrase. But you may want to write it down or may want to memorize it and just chew on this and meditate on this statement. Write it down on your paper like you're writing it to yourself, okay? Preacher's not just saying it. You're writing it to yourself or memorize it this way. God knows what's best for me. Write that on your paper. God knows what's best for me. Do we believe that? Church family, do we believe that? You see, there's been things that wasn't God's best for me. Wasn't about God's best. That, you know, God didn't necessarily, you know, his answer was no. But you see, there are some times, though, that God's answer is not right now. You see, there's a, when it comes to prayer, you may want to jot this down as well. There's a trust element when it comes to prayer. You know, when we go to God, we need to also believe that he can do it. Right? There's a trust element, but there's also many times there's a time element involved. There's a trust element, there's a time element. You say, yeah, but preacher, I need a husband, I need a wife. And I'm not getting any younger. Well, how old are you, sweetheart? I'm 19. I think. Oh, you have no idea. Preacher, listen, there's a time element, there's a trust element. Trust element sometimes isn't as hard as maybe the time element, but God knows what you need. Robert Murray McCheyenne wrote, "The enemy uses all his power to lead the Christian and above all the minister to neglect prayer." I think that's a true statement. Satan wants nothing more than to get you to abandon prayer. You know, one of the things I'm blessed on Sunday mornings a lot of times, Pastor Timberland of Faith Baptist, Pastor Jeff Fain, Emmanuel Baptist Cold Spring, Pastor Andy Darty, Wilmington Baptist in Wilmington, Ohio. It's not uncommon for those boys to text me every Sunday morning, just about every Sunday morning, saying this, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Or, "I've prayed for you this morning." That means the world. I promise it does. To know that people are praying for you, wow, what a blessing. Do you know what that means? Let's stop for a minute. When somebody says, "Hey, I want you to know I've prayed for you," you know what that means? Literally, they have talked to the Heavenly Father on your behalf. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, church family. So let's dig into this. Let me give you another thing because I want to give you this today, and we'll see where we get with the rest of it. Notice, second of all, the directions of prayer. Paul gives us some directions as far as how to pray. And he gives it to us by giving us four statements, if you will. Four thoughts. Notice in the text. Verse 1. He says, "I exhort therefore that first of all," we've covered that. Notice these next statements. Supplications, underline it or circle it. Prayers. Intercessions. And giving of thanks. So there's four things here he mentions. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, those four things that we've given you here, that there are four different aspects about prayer. He speaks of the supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Each one of these is a particular facet of prayer. He mentions prayers. Prayers here is a word that has the thought of worship. In 1 Chronicles 16, we see this expressed, where the Bible talks about giving unto the Lord the glory, right? The glory due unto his name. Bringing an offering, coming before him, worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. This aspect of prayer is a time when we praise God for who he is and what he is. That's prayer. It's a time of worship. Preacher, I never really looked at prayer as a time of worship. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. Man, what a joy. What a blessing. You know, it's not uncommon. I'll be driving down the road with my wife, and a lot of times I like wearing ball hats. And somebody said, you got to hide your bald spot. That's not a bald spot. It's a cowlick, Mike Dunlop. I'm not bitter. But my kids said, Dad, you got a bald spot back there. And it offended me. And I prayed that a she-bear would come out of the woods and gobble them up. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But I'll be driving down the road, and something will come across my heart. I'll just take my hat off, and I'll put it up on the dash. I won't say anything. I'll just be driving. And I'm praying. Just quietly praying. And my wife now, she knows a lot of times when I take my hat off, it's because I got something on my heart. And she'll say, oh, baby, you're praying about something? Yeah, this is what's on my heart, or what have you. Prayer is it's an act of worship. You ever stop and just in prayer, just stop and brag on God. Brag to God about himself. You know, I'm grateful, you know, when we come to God in prayer that you can experientially, and that's a great word, experientially, I can pray and I can say, God, Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that you're a wonderful comforter. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you are a God that loves me unconditionally. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you've always been faithful to me when I haven't been so faithful. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful today that you're a good, good Father. He's a wonderful God. Yesterday afternoon, I was thinking of Jeff and Trish. Literal is her last name. That's their son, JJ. I've been doing this recently. When I'm praying for somebody, sometimes I'll just write my prayer out as I'm praying it. So I sent through Facebook Messenger. You say, preacher's on his phone. Yeah, he is. I don't preach against phones anymore. You notice that? I sent this to these parents. I said, Heavenly Father, I come tonight on behalf of JJ. I ask, Father, that you touch his body with your grace and mercy. I also pray, Father, that you surround Jeff and Trish with your marvelous love and tender care at this time, Lord. You are a good, good Father. God, may your name be glorified in their lives, Lord. I also pray, Father, that you will use your family to encourage, love on, and shower them with gracious support at this time. I also even said his body. They're a member of a local New Testament church there in Ohio, Baptist Church. And then I said, God, I said, Jeff and Trish, love you, Father, with all their hearts.
They love JJ. Please, God, grant them a peace that passeth all understanding at this time, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And I sent that to him. And I said to him, I said, my wife and I are praying continually on your behalf. We send our love to y'all, Tracy. And I said, in parentheses, please, no need to respond. I just wanted to send a prayer. I'm not telling you that, and I didn't read that today to make you sound like I'm such a spiritual giant. I'm just a dad. I'm just a dad with a 17-year-old son who can't imagine. I can't imagine my little boy Toby having that happen. I can't. I don't even want to think about it. We have a good, good father. When we come to prayer, it's an act of worship. And then he says, so that's the first part. Secondly, he uses the phrase giving of thanks. Prayers, we're told here, it's a time of giving of thanks. In prayer, you not only praise God for who he is, but also for what he has done. It is a time to thank him for him, for all of his blessings in your life. You say, preacher, I don't know about the blessings. Well, let me help you. Let me help you for a minute. Maybe just kind of stimulate your mind for a minute to really get you to think about all the blessings in your life. God gave you the ability to get up today. That's a blessing. God put breath in your lungs this morning. That's a blessing. God gave you the ability to come to the house of worship this morning. That's a blessing. God gave you the ability to come and, you know, and be encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ, and hopefully, prayerfully, be encouraged by the music, be encouraged by the preaching, be encouraged by worship. God allowed you to do that this morning. You know, God has given you the grace, and the grace, to be able to come into this sanctuary and not have to worry about the government or the military coming in and trying to stop this worship service. Can I get a witness? He said, preacher, I mean, come on, preacher. This is the United States of America. You're right. It isn't the same way in a lot of other countries. It's not the same way. John Burnett, who's a missionary in Mexico, one of the last times he was here and he was preaching, giving a testimony of what was going on in that region where he has a church. And he said, preacher, it's not uncommon we've had church members. Listen to this. He said, we've had church members that have been abducted and then eventually set free. I tell you what, we have a lot to be thankful for. I teased when I looked out the window. I was talking to Kelly Colesio yesterday about this, and I just kind of touched base with her. She's going to find out what it was, because I don't know actually what it was. But anyway, and I told her, I said, Kelly, I said, to be quite honest, I said, I was about ready to open the door and let my Mexican pit bulls go after that guy. I said, it would have been awful. For those of you who don't know what a Mexican pit bull is, it's a very rare breed. It's a ferocious breed. In America, I think they call them a Chihuahua. No. We walk our dogs with a logging chain. I'm telling you, they play with truck tires. They flip them throughout the yard, all 4 pounds of them, giving of thanks. And notice another one, supplication. This is a good one. The word supplication here means petition. And it speaks of praying about personal needs and desires. When we have needs in our life, we can pray about it. Do you do that? Seriously, do you ever pray about some of the needs in your life? I hope you do. Because listen, God loves to hear. You say, preacher, I don't want to bug our Lord. Listen, you're not a bother. You're not a bother to him. It's not bugging God. He loves to hear from his children. So supplications, and last of all, look at this one. This is a very sweet one. This is a dear one. Intercessions. Intercessions. What does that mean? Intercessions is praying for others.
Supplication is praying for your own needs. Intercession is praying for the needs of others. Wow. Our goal, one of our goals, should really be a intercessory prayer. Somebody that comes to God on behalf of another. Somebody that comes to the Lord on behalf of somebody else's situation or somebody else's whatever they're dealing with. God be with so-and-so. Lord, you know, it's not uncommon. And again, just kind of let you into my, you know, kind of some of the ways I pray. It's not uncommon that, you know, if I'm praying and somebody comes across my path or somebody comes across my mind and I see their picture and I see their picture in my mind, that I try to think of something specifically. God be with this situation. Be with this person, Lord. Help them right now because, God, they're dealing with this, and this. Praying for a specific need. Praying for a specific situation. Pray. Interceding on behalf of others. Lastly, the desire, and we're done, to finish this sermon. If not, I'll never finish it. Look what Paul says. He says at the end of verse 1, in the context of prayer, be made for all men. Wow. Ooh, preacher. I can pray for my friends. You're right. You know, Jesus told his disciples to pray for your enemies. Jesus told his disciples, pray for those that despitefully use you. And by the way, he's not talking about praying that they die, right? That's not the kind of prayer he's talking about. He says, pray for kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority. Look at that. Authority carries with it the idea of a prominent place, government officials. This morning in Sunday school, we prayed for our Congress. And then what we prayed specifically for our Congress, and again, maybe you've not thought about this, but like Brother Agent Sutala, who works on government contracts, he's a preacher, you know, to Will, who does a prayer request, said pray for our Congress that eventually they'll be able to pass a spending bill. You see, because when the government shuts down, soldiers don't get paid. Right? Is that right? Yeah. Will, is that right? Will must be outside smoking again. Is that right? They don't get paid at that time. They'll eventually get caught up, I think, right? Yeah, but they... Okay, so how would you like to be... Okay, this week you're not going to get a check. We're not going to give you a check. Matter of fact, we might not be giving you a check for a month. You'd be living with your in-laws, right? Chances are. So we pray for the Congress. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those that are in prominent positions. Pray for our president. You say, preacher, I don't like our president. I didn't ask you if you liked the president. Pray for him. You say, preacher, how should I pray? One of the ways I pray for our president, God, give him wisdom. Give him your wisdom. Give him your wisdom, Father, to lead our nation. You see, preacher, I don't really like our president. Again, I didn't ask you if you like the president. I'm just encouraging you to be obedient to the word of God and to pray for those that are in authority. Pray for those that are in prominent position. Why? There's a reason. It pays off. Look at the text. Verse 2, that, purposeful clause, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's a reason you pray for your officials. There's a reason you pray for those in prominent position. That we may live a peaceable... Do you want to live in peace? Can I get a witness? I don't like drama. I don't like chaos. You can ask my wife. We're not really big fans of that. Our house has... True story. Our house, for the most part, has never been loud. I say had never been loud. Past tense, right? I'm not going to tell you why our house got a little louder, but we're thankful for the loudness. But I want to live in peace. I want to live godliness, honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Literally, he desires. That's what it means. He desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So you can pray, say, preacher, what else can I pray for? Pray for your loved ones that don't know Jesus. Pray that God will save them. Pray that God, now let's bring it in a little closer. Pray that God will use you to make a difference for God's kingdom, to be a witness to those that are your friends and family and coworkers and neighbors, that maybe God could use you to be the soul winner in their life. He's a great God. My cousin, I was floored by this. Says, man, it so encouraged me. I'd kind of forgotten about it. Oh, goodness, this has to be 25 years ago, maybe. I remember at my cousin's house, I remember leading my cousin Chris to Christ. It was actually my cousin Chris and my little brother Jason. You know, I explained the gospel, and they both prayed and asked God to forgive them, asked God to save them. And to be honest, I just kind of, you know, we just kind of lost touch and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, the other day on Facebook, I'm back on Facebook again. The other day on Facebook, my cousin was talking about something. He's a Pittsburgh fan, and he's in mourning because they got beat. And we were going back and forth. The other cousins were chiming in. And I made a comment. I said, Chris, I said, just something different. I said, I'm praying for you, man. He responded back, John, and he said, Tracy, he said, I just got to tell you. He said, you're the man that brought me to God. He said, my eternal, how do you say it? Something like, my eternal home is secured because of you introducing me to Jesus. And he said, now my wife, she goes, you know, she's faithful to church, and she got him in the church and serving the Lord. And to be honest, I forgot all about it. I'm telling you, God can use you in your family. Don't buy into the lie of the devil that says you can't win your family to Jesus. That's a lie from hell. You can win your family to Jesus. Be praying. Put them on your prayer list. Pray that God will give you opportunities to share Christ, because he will. That God will give you divine appointments with your family and your loved ones. So let's all stand, please, for him invitation. Brother Pat's going to come and lead us. If the invitation today is this, if you're here without Christ, sweet friend, I encourage you today to repent of your sin and believe that God died, that Christ died, was buried, rose again for you. As if you were the only sinner on the face of the planet, Jesus died for you. And by faith, believe that. Asking God to forgive you being a sinner and trust Christ. Put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to be your Savior. He'll save you. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm just not really where I need to be. Well, I encourage you to get back with the Lord. Get back there, man. Get back in fellowship with Jesus. Maybe you don't have a church home, but would like to unite with Emmanuel. We'd love to have you. Our doors are wide open. I promise you that. Whatever you need to do. Maybe to come to the altar and pray. Maybe God's put someone in your heart. Come and pray for them. When I got saved and they gave me the right hand of fellowship. Remember me telling you this? When I got saved at 16 years old and come by and got the right hand of fellowship at the church, coming in as a membership, many of the members of First Baptist said to me, Tracy, I've been praying for you. They didn't even know me. They knew me when I was a little rug rat in the nursery. But I was now 16 years old, and I hadn't been in church since I was 7. Tracy, I've been praying for you. Man, I wonder how many of them bombarded heaven. Lord Jesus, save that little teenager. God, save that teenager. Save him, Lord. Change his life. Change the direction of his life. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and pray for your loved ones or your friends or your family. You come. What's your name, Pat? 301. 301. You come as we say.